Welcome back to THOP, the half hour of power with Beastchild, and today is Monday, so you get to start your week off with a nice recap of this past weekend's games in the NFL. Let's get right to it with Beastchild and the NFL Review Show. Get into the recap of all the hard-hitting action this weekend, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com. Add beastchild on Skype, BEASTCHILD09 on Skype. Or add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or, of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Now let's get right into the gridiron with the recap from this past weekend's games. October 1st. Okay, let's get right into Season 1, Episode 53. But before we do that, my Week 4 Super Bowl prediction, Cowboys, Patriots. Okay, let's get right into the recaps. It's the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. In this game, I picked the Packers, and they came out victorious. Brett Favre with the record-breaking pass. He now leads all quarterbacks in passing touchdowns in a career, 421. He hit it. He also got 422. Two touchdowns, 344 yards for the old man. Number four, his team is 4-0. On the other side, the Minnesota Vikings lose 16-23 at home, and they go down to 1-3. Okay, what happened in this game? Well, Kelly Holcomb went in at quarterback for the injured Tavares Jackson, and what happened? Many bad things. Their only offensive playmaker is Adrian Peterson, and if they can't give him the ball on every down, they're not going to win. Greg Jennings gets the 16-yard touchdown pass from Brett Favre to start off the game. A two-minute drive puts them in the lead 7-0. Then Longwell kicks a couple field goals. Crosby kicks a field goal. Now the halftime score is 10-6. Couple field goals in the third quarter, and then two more field goals, another field goal by the Packers, and James Jones gets a 33-yarder from Brett Favre, and in garbage time, Kelly Holcomb throws a 15-yard pass to Sidney Rice. Sidney Rice looking very good in this game, the rookie receiver, and he's showing some speed, showing some good fantasy value there. He had 75 yards on the day, and of course, the touchdown. On the receiving end, Donald Lee, the tight end, led the Packers with 66 yards receiving, and the Packers pull off the away victory. Now we move to Detroit, where the Bears come to face the Lions. The Lions last week were 2-0, and reality hit them right in the face with a 56-21 loss to, I believe it was, the Philadelphia Eagles in those throw-up uniforms. Not throwback, throw-up. Now they're 3-1 with a 37-27 home victory with a record-breaking 34 points in the fourth quarter. They kicked a field goal in the first quarter, and that was it until the fourth quarter where they scored 34 points. And how they came? Well, it was a very interesting game, to say the least. Let's go straight to the fourth quarter. Okay, well, the score is 13-3, Bears lead. Now we go to the fourth quarter. Sean McDonald catches a 4-yard touchdown pass, and on the ensuing drive, Brian Greasy throws a present to Keith Smith, who takes the 64-yard touchdown pass to the house. So now the score is 17-6. Then they decide to kick it off to a guy by the name of Devin Hester. He takes it 97 yards back to the house on the kick return. Then the Bears are rallying back. So Lions on offense. Kitna took Troy Walters 15-yard touchdown pass. Then Kevin Jones 5-yard touchdown run. The extra point is blocked. Then the Bears rallying back get a Desmond Clark touchdown pass for it was a 1-yard touchdown pass from Brian Greasy. So now the Bears are down by 3 with a score of 27-30. Obviously, they go for the onside kick off of a Chicago helmet, and Casey Fitzsimmons, the backup tight end, a 41-yard kick return to the house. He takes the onside kick back to the house, a 45 seconds on the clock. That seals the deal. 37-27 Lions win, and I have to say, I called it. Brian Greasy, 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, and John Kitna, 2 touchdowns, no picks. 247 through the air for these guys. But look at this, the Bears, 52 pass attempts. What is that? Kitna completed 20 of 24, a very good percentage. And Tatum Bell on the ground, 46 yards. Kevin Jones, 38. Pretty good for Mike Martz's offense, I must say. And over on the other side, Cedric Benson, 50 yards on 15 attempts. That is not good. 3.3 per carry for him. And that is not what they need. This defense was banged up as it is, and they needed a running game. They didn't get it. Now we go to the next game. It was the Rams at the Cowboys. So, I said earlier in the show, Cowboys are my Super Bowl pick. Here's why. The victory, 35-7. Tony Romo is a straight-up beast. Play of the week, in my opinion, if you saw that play on the high snap. Well, it started off with Julius Jones' 2-yard run. Okay, 7:15 left in the first quarter. Then Dante Hall, yes, the old-timer from the Chiefs, the beast returner, X-Factor, takes the 85-yard punt return to the house, and that was all the Rams would see as far as points go. Tony Romo has a 15-yard run for the touchdown, throws a 59-yard bomb to Patrick Creighton, then a 37-yard bomb to Patrick Creighton, then Jason Witten, a 17-yard little dump-off from Tony Romo, and that seals the deal, 35-7. They just couldn't stop scoring. They scored, what is it, 28 unanswered points in this game, and the Rams straight-up didn't go to the game. That was a problem, but T.O. laid a monster of a block. But I want to go back to that Tony Romo play. So Tony Romo, he's at about, what, his own 40-yard line. He's in the shotgun. They're at third and long, maybe. And so that's why in the shotgun, they're in their deep passing formation. And a snap goes, like, way over Romo's head. Goes back maybe 20 yards. He's chasing after it. Then he goes down to pick it up and knees it 10 yards further. Now he's back at, what, his own 15 or 20. Gets the ball. Runs back. Fakes out a defender and takes it back and ends up gaining 10 to 15 yards. He is a beast, and that is why I'm getting a Tony Romo jersey. 339 through the air for Tony Romo. He was 21 for 33. On the other side, Mark Bulger, he went 11 for 24. We saw a little bit of Gus Bratt. He was 3 for 6. But Bulger still having some problems with the ribs. On the ground, 52 for Jones, 50 for Barber. Not too much there. But Patrick Creighton, 184 through the air and 2 touchdowns. Terrell Owens, only 3 receptions for 33 yards. Not too much from him, but he has a presence downfield. Blocking. And, you know, just even as a decoy, whatever, I mean, the safety's always concerned about Terrell Owens, because he could beat you deep any play of the game. Now, to Cleveland we go, where the Ravens face the Browns, and obviously, you know, the Ravens ran away with this one early. Their defense just shut down the Browns, and they won about, no, what's this, the Browns win 27-13. They pull off the home upset against the division rivals. This puts both teams at 2-2, but the Ravens, 34 minutes of possession to the Browns, 25. The Ravens, 2 turnovers, that was the key. Ravens had 418 net yards, and the Browns only 303. McNair threw for 307 yards, and Derek Anderson only 204. McGahee ran for 104 yards, and Jamal Lewis only 64. So, you know, I mean, what's up with that? The Ravens led in every aspect of the game, but receiving 97 yards for Braylon Edwards, 96 for Kellen Winslow. That's where it killed them. Samaje Rolle out for this game. Corey Ivey playing in the second cornerback spot. They really missed Trevor Price up front. And J. Lou, you know, I mean, he didn't do much. We were expecting him to you know, kind of go to work against his former team, but only averaging 2.7 per carry. Not too good for a power runner between the tackles, but, you know, that's what it is. But Cleveland Browns pulling off the home upset 27-13. I was watching this game on the little scoreboard, the little ticker, because of a history essay, if I may. I mean, it's not my fault. It's the American Revolution. But Joe Juravicius, a 2-yard touchdown pass from Derek Anderson, then Braylon Edwards, a 78-yard bomb from Anderson. And that put the Browns up 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. And so I'm like, okay, it's okay. The Ravens got a pretty good D. I mean, they're not showing it, but we'll rally back. Matt Stover kicks a field goal. Matt Stover didn't have too desirable of a game, missing 2 field goals. He went 2-for-4 on the day. His long, a 29-yarder. But we continue. Phil Dawson puts one through the uprights. And Chris McAllister, what is this guy doing? The veteran, the guy that knows what's going on, he lines up offsides on a field goal. The Browns kick it. Phil Dawson shanks it. He missed it. And so, 5-yard penalty, first down, and Jamal Lewis runs it in for a yard. Touchdown, Browns take, and then Stover kicks another one. It's Browns take a halftime lead of 24-6. Ravens ended up getting a 4-yard touchdown pass at the end there, but not too much from them. So the Browns win 27-13. I don't want to go into too much detail about this game. I mean, it was boring, and plus, the Ravens are my team, not looking too good. I mean, you're kind of starting to see the Ravens on their downfall. They did have some injuries, granted. I will defend them a little bit, but in reality, they're not playing. We knew that their offense wasn't exactly desirable, and their defense didn't look too good. I mean, this game showed us two things, that the Ravens' D is kind of, I don't know, maybe on the wrong side of the pendulum swing, but it also showed that the Browns, they are who we thought they were. We saw them week 2, obviously scoring 51 points. That's not going to be a usual thing for them, but they put it up against the Ravens, and Ravens are what we thought was a pretty good defense. But now we go to New York, where the Buffalo Bills face the Jets. Jets, obviously the better team, and with Chad Pennington throwing for 290 yards in this game, and Kotry receiving for 106, Laviarius Cole's getting a touchdown grab, obviously they would win, right? Wrong! Trent Edwards comes in for the injured J.P. Losman. He goes 22-for-28, 234 yards through the air. A touchdown and a pick, one good, one bad. Marshawn Lynch on the ground, 79 yards. Not exactly up to par, as one might say, but he is running with power, unlike Cedric Benson. A touchdown for him, along of only 11 yards, but 23 attempts and only 79 yards. Some quick math here. That would give him 3.4 per carry. So, it's pretty good. That's what the Bills need to kind of open up the offense. And Lee Evans, I think someone found him. He was hiding under a dumpster, but he had 72 yards on 6 receptions. J.R. Reed had 64 yards on 4 receptions. So Trent Edwards spreading the ball around. He completed multiple passes to 5 receivers. And so pretty good there. The final score in Buffalo, 17-14. This game went right down to the wire. And on the last drives, Chad Pennington throws one of his 2 interceptions. Those were costly INTs for him. Now we go to Atlanta, where the Houston Texans face the Atlanta Falcons. I picked the Falcons in this game, and they pull off the upset, 26-16. Joey Harrington, 233 through the air, 223 through the air, 2 touchdowns, 23-for-29. Pretty good completion rating there. On Schwab's side, 28-for-40, 40 attempts for the Schwabster, 317 through the air. I mean, you have to assume on 40 attempts, you gotta get over 300, and many of those came to Andre Davis on a 45-yard, one-handed touchdown catch, right, you know, like, through the defender, Chris Houston. That was a sick play, and, you know, so, but on the ground, the Texans were really hurting in this game. That's part of the reason why I picked the Falcons. Ron Dane, only 62 yards on the ground for the injured Amon Green. And receiving, I mean, Andre Davis got the job done, and Kevin Walter, but Andre Johnson and Jacoby Jones, definitely, they're being missed on this team because they were needed. Matt Schwab, 2 fumbles. Both of them were lost. He threw no interceptions, though. Joey Harrington didn't throw any interceptions. Pretty good for him. Warwick Gunn, 62 yards on the ground. Jarius Norwood, only 9 attempts. What we thought would be more of a running back by committee, more of a spell, more of Jarius Norwood spelling done. Dunn just gets 18 carries and Norwood only 9. But a pretty even game. The scoring went Falcons, Texans. So it went back and forth, but in the end, a field goal and a touchdown put the Falcons on top, and that was that. And oh, by the way, D'Angelo Hall served his 1-quarter suspension, and then he came back in and shut down what was the Texans attack. Now, Miami, Oakland, battle of the bats. 0-4 Miami and 2-2 Oakland after this game. The Raiders top the Dolphins 35-17. Dante Culpepper scores 5 touchdowns, 2 through the air, 3 on the ground. He had 28 yards rushing, but 3 touchdowns. The greatest thing. After the first touchdown, gets up in the Miami crowd's face, points at the knee, it is okay, gives the little index finger to the thumb, 3 fingers up, a little circle, if you know what I'm saying. Jerry Porter gets a 7-yard touchdown pass from Culpepper to start the game off. Then Culpepper runs it in for 2 yards, that's where he pulls it off. Ronnie Brown, a 9-yard touchdown run, this puts the score at 14-7 at the half, Raiders lead. Oh, by the way, this game was delayed 15 minutes for thunderstorms in the area of Miami. And then all the Dolphins would see for the rest of the game is a whole lot of Dante Culpepper. They kicked a 29-yard field goal and a short little dump-off pass from Trent Green. But Trent Green, not looking good. Didn't look good in preseason. Doesn't look good now. Only 158 through the air on 14 completions, a touchdown, and a pick. Culpepper, on the other hand, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Vargas came in for the injured Lamont Jordan. 179 on the ground. He is a beast. 22 carries, meaning that he averaged 8.1 per carry. Every time they gave him the ball, on average, he'd get 8.1. Granted, a lot of those came on a 48-yard run, but this is the son, as they were saying. They were killing this phrase, but he was the son of Huggy Bear and Starsky and Hutch, and yeah, that's what's that. Only 3 receivers on Oakland's side caught balls. Jerry Porter had 3 receptions, Ronald Curry had 1, and Lamont Jordan had 1. And, you know, that's that. It was pretty simple. Dante Culpepper versus the Miami offense. And Miami offense was only Ronnie Brown, and Ronnie Brown was shut down. So, with that 35-17, the final score in Miami, we go to San Francisco, where the Seahawks played nobody. You know, it was basically the Seahawks and Trent Dilfer, if I may. So, it was a complete obliteration, and the Niners played some of the worst football I've seen this year. The Seahawks had 36 minutes of possession, the Niners 23. Okay, that right there. Alex Smith injured on the second play from scrimmage. Rocky Bernard just straight up jumped, bear hugged him, and then just land on them. The only Niners score came on a Joe Nedney 43-yard field goal late in the third quarter, and the final score there, 23-3. There wasn't too much going on in this game, unless you were a Seahawks fan, then you were just, you know, going crazy, because now you have first place in the NFC West. The Seahawks take a 3-1 record, Niners at 2-2. And this game was pretty simple. Seahawks came out, Seahawks dominated, and Seahawks left. 78 yards on the ground for Sean Alexander, 281 through the air, Hasselbeck. I mean, these are decent numbers. Seneca Wallace got involved on a couple gadget plays. But Trent Dilfer, 128 through the air. He completed 12 of 33. My lord, 2 picks, no touchdowns, obviously. And 2 of those picks, I mean, how much worse can you do? If you actually watched, if you suffered through this game, that was some terrible football. The Niners blocked a punt and recovered an onside kick, and 0 points resulted from both of those. So, in reality, the Niners have nothing going for them. I'm not going to stress on this any longer except to give you their scoring drive, which was 26 yards. The only drive that they scored on was a 26-yard drive, and it lasted 1 minute and 44 seconds. That pretty much sums up the game. Now we go to Carolina, where the Panthers host the Buccaneers. This game, I picked the Carolina Panthers. Buccaneers are good. Okay, I'll give them some credit. But, you know, the Panthers are at home. They got the car. And they got Steve Smith, Deshaun Foster, all that good stuff. But Jeff Garcia comes out early, a 3-yard touchdown run. Then he hands it off to Ernest Graham for a 1-yard touchdown run. 14-0, end of the first. Then Matt Bryant pops one in between the uprights to give the Panthers a 17-0 lead in at halftime. Zeros, no scoring in the third quarter. Fourth quarter, Matt Bryant pops another one through, and the only score came on a 24-yard touchdown pass to D'Angelo Williams from David Carr. So, what did David Carr do in this game? Well, he attempted 41 passes, and he had a nice little front flip first down run. But he only completed 19 of those 41 passes. He threw a touchdown and a pick, and 155 yards. Okay, that is terrible. And Deshaun Foster, 64 yards on the ground. This was pretty much an abysmal game. D'Angelo Williams led the team in receiving with 37 yards. Okay? That's that. Steve Smith only had 32 on the day, a long of 15 on 5 receptions. Okay, so that was, a lot like the Seahawks game. Buccaneers came in, road team, division rival, and they killed. And that was that. I picked the Panthers. I was dead wrong. I had a terrible week this week. And to top it all off, my eliminator pick of the week, the Chargers and the Chiefs. Chiefs come in. Chiefs say, what's up, LT? We'll let you have 132 yards, but we'll only let you score 16 points. A killing. The Chiefs come in. Chiefs beast it up. 30-16. They win, and I am eliminated. Okay, started off with a nacating 24-yard field goal. LT had a 5-yard run for the touchdown, and so now the score is 10-0. Chargers. A field goal by each team, and then another field goal by each team puts the score at 16-6 at the half. Okay, I'm pretty comfortable. But the Chiefs, this whole year, the whole 2007 season, the Chiefs have not allowed any second half points, and once again, they don't. Second half was all Chiefs. They only had scored 6 points in the first quarter, in the first half. Now they come out, another field goal. Tony Gonzalez, touchdown catch. Dwayne Bowe, touchdown catch. And a fumble return to the house. Seal the deal, 30-16. And my eliminator pick is gone for the year. Let's take a look at some stats. LJ, 123 on the ground. LT, 132 on the ground. Okay, a good LT day, a touchdown. But what else did they do? Phillip Rivers attempted 42 passes. Do you see a bit of a theme here? When the team attempts a billion passes, they don't win. And thus, the deal, 21 completions of 42 passes. Okay, that's that, whatever, they're terrible. And I'm never picking the Chargers again. Unless they play the Saints, then I'll take them. Or if they play the Rams, then I'll probably take them. The Chargers move to 1-3, the Chiefs move to 2-2, and I am mad. So, take a deep breath, and now we go to Indiana, where the Indianapolis Colts host the Denver Broncos. This game, just like I said, I mean, I was dead on with this game. I don't remember the exact words that I said on the show, but it's what I expected. Broncos will come out early, they'll come out firing. Yeah, yeah, we're the Broncos, we're going to show you guys. Super Bowl champs, I'm Mike Shanahan. They'll come out firing, they take an early 10-0 lead, and like I said, Champ Bailey and Dre Bly would limit Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, but eventually they would just break out. So Marvin Harrison ended up getting injured in this game. He left, and we don't know, the prognosis on that is still coming out, and I'll update you guys when I know more. But Joseph Addai gets a 14-yard run. He says peace. Jason Neal kicks another one through, and Dallas Clark gets a 9-yard touchdown pass. At halftime, the score, 14-13. All of a sudden, Indianapolis is up by one. They have home field advantage. Then, all that would happen in the second half for the Broncos would be a Jay Cutler 2-yard run, and the Colts take this one 38-20. Jay Cutler was on the run the whole game. That touchdown run I just told you about is because he was running from defenders. They just chased him the wrong way. So, let's take a look at this. I found some interesting stats here. Both teams had 130-plus yard rushers, and a backup with 80-plus yards. Okay, Joseph Addai, 136 on the ground, and his backup, Kenton Keith, 80 yards on the ground. Interesting. And on the other side, Travis Henry, 131 on the ground, and Selvin Young, 81 yards. Very interesting. Then the third rusher had 10 plus yards. Jay Cutler had 11, and Lawton had 13. So some nice little coincidences there. But the Colts took this one, and Jay Cutler was on the run. And you know, I mean, Travis Henry kind of went off in the beginning. It didn't look like the Colts were going to be able to stop him at all. And he was just, if you take a look at the first drive that they had, it was a 47-yard drive, and it ended in a field goal. Then the second one was an 86-yard drive, which ended in a touchdown, and that was to Brandon Marshall, that pass from Jay Cutler. And a lot of that was Travis Henry on the ground, and he is looking like a very legitimate back, and Mike Shanahan always likes the one running back system and spell him, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen. His long was 15 on the day, so you know that he was just consistently getting short yardage. He had 131. He had 131 on the ground and 26 attempts, so he averaged 5 per carry, and he didn't have like a 60-yarder that kind of threw that off. So, you know, Travis Henry looking very good on the ground. That's what I like to see. Now we go to Arizona. Steelers v. Cardinals. Okay, well, this game, I picked the Steelers. They were on the road against the Cardinals. What would happen? Santonio Holmes, 43-yarder to start the game off, touchdown. No second quarter scoring. Then, the Cardinals, 3 unanswered touchdowns, puts the score 21-7. One of those 73-yard punt returns to the house. And then, Steelers finally get one in garbage time. Santonio Holmes, a 27-yard touchdown pass. This game, there wasn't too much in there. It was a regular quarterback by committee that we're going to be seeing in Arizona. Liner comes in, throws a couple touchdowns, picks, however he feels. Warner comes in for the majority of the game. Then they throw him back out there, take a couple knees at the end. The liner goes in. Okay, so let's really quickly, the Giants and Eagles. This game was simple. Giants win 16-3. Giants tied the NFL record for team sacks with 12. And they take this one. McNabb was on the ground the whole game. Derek Ward, 80 yards on the ground. And Eli Manning, 135 through the air. Flacco Burris got 24 of those. Amani Toomer with 54. This game, 16-3, Giants win at home, they pull off the upset, and they go to 2-2, Eagles at 1-3. Okay, really quick, the Monday night game, the Patriots at the Cincinnati Bengals. I see this game starting close early. This is going to be close in the beginning, it's going to be a bit of a shootout, and the Bengals are a different team at home. The Patriots are going to come out with a victory in this, but it's going to be closer than you think. I know everyone says Patriots are going to shut them down, but the Bengals are a different team at home, so look out for that. Patriots win 38-21. So that's that. Enjoy the game tonight on ESPN, 8:30 Eastern. This has been October 1st, 2007, Season 1, Episode 53, the NFL Week 4 Review. I have been your host, Beastchild. Tune in for tomorrow's Topics and Opinions show. It's going to be a new thing I'm adding every Tuesday. I'm going to just sit down, you know, get the biggest headlines, the biggest topics, and break them down for you, my opinion, what's going on. Thanks for listening, and of course, peace out. And so with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to THOP, the half hour of power. I have been Beastchild, your host, and if you want to get in contact with me, if you want to holler at your boy, if I may, you can go ahead and send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can add me on Skype, beastchild09. If you have a MySpace, go ahead, add the show, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power, or of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.com. Thank you for listening, and tune in for tomorrow's show. A Beastchild Media production for 2007. Peace out! thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com.